We're going to be looking this morning at Luke chapter 20, chapter 2, verses 21 through 35, and this is the fourth in our series, Songs for a Savior. This morning we're going to look at the Song of Simeon, and sometimes it's known by its Latin title, Nunc Dimittis, and Luke 2, verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts might be revealed. Well, last week, in the song of the angels, an apparently ordinary birth in a humble stable was announced to shepherds in an extraordinary manner by a host of angels. An angel of the Lord told frightened shepherds, fear not, for I bring you good news of a great joy, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And then suddenly, a choir of heavenly angels, the host of heaven, the angel army of God, boomed out their song, glory to God in the highest. Why, it was even more impressive than the beginning of the Phantom of the Opera. My son Steve and his wife Brittany and their 4 children were up from Florida and were here last week, and the little ones were listening to Pop Pop preach, and Steve told me their assessment. One said, I'm bored. The other, I'm hungry. The other, when are we going to eat? But then the little one, the 3-year-old, said, I like the bomb, 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 bomb. He liked that. But all in all, it didn't really quite do the trick for them. Kids, I'm going to try harder today. I hope you all got it, though. The point of the passage last week was this. Jesus Christ is special. Jesus is special. The angels knew that. Heaven knew that. And they announced the royal birth of the one who stands in the line of David, the one who is the messianic king, who is also Savior, who is Lord of all. And it was that convergence, that juxtaposition of the ordinary and the extraordinary, the intersection of the common and the miraculous, that grabs our attention and really boggles our mind. Because though Jesus came into this world in an ordinary manner through Mary, through childbirth, so that he is fully human, He did not have a human father. It was the virgin birth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he is fully divine. This is the miracle of the incarnation. The Word became flesh. The eternal Son of God, who has always existed, assumed human flesh at a point in time. And remaining what he was, fully God, he became what he was not, fully human, and so exists in that state today at the right hand of the throne of God. It's an astonishing miracle. There's none greater. But why did he do this? He did it for us and for our salvation. As the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name Jesus means. It means Yahweh or Jehovah saves. See, our sins, which separate us from God, which are the cause of all misery and death, they're the reason for our plight, and they can only be remedied by one who is both God and man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So God came to us as a baby, and he came to us to save us from our sins. And the angel's song was to let us know that this was an astounding event. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. This is the miracle of the incarnation. Now the Song of Simeon. But first we have to set the scene, and that's what these first verses are for. Chapter 2, verse 21, we're told that at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Well, first of all, we have to see that Jesus' family fulfills the law of the Lord. Joseph and Mary honored God by honoring his law. It may seem unimportant, but it's not. Jesus and his family fulfilled the law of Moses. They fulfilled the law of the Lord. Joseph and Mary had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law of Moses. And then 33 days after that, when the time for their purification came, again, according to the law of the Lord, you see it repeated. The family goes up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. He was dedicated there. And to offer sacrifices, again, in accordance with the law of the Lord. You see, Jesus' entire life was characterized by obedience to the law of God. He fulfilled the holy law of the Lord. He did, in doing this, what Adam failed to do. He did it as our representative. He fulfilled the law in our stead. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. He was no rebel. He was no renegade. He honored the law of the Lord. His obedience is an essential part of the great salvation that he purchased for us. And it began right here with Mary and Joseph, humbly and faithfully obeying the law of the Lord as God-fearing and God-loving Jewish parents. So they brought their son up to Jerusalem in accordance with the law, and it was while they were there, while they were going about their obedient duty, that they came in contact with a fascinating man. They were in the right place at the right time. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw or had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, but we're going to hold his song for a moment because we want to introduce Simeon. Now, this passage is not about Simeon. It's about Jesus. But right now, Jesus is a baby, so he's not doing anything. It's left to others to help us understand who Jesus really is. Remember, Luke the historian is painting a picture. He's painting a word portrait of Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And the angels shone a light on Jesus so we could see that this was a big deal. And Simeon, similarly, is going to shine a light on Jesus, but it's a different color light. It's a slightly different light. And again, we have a study in contrasts here because Jesus is a baby, but Simeon is most likely an old man. Now, I like this, and I find this interesting because I'm an old man. I don't feel like an old man, but every once in a while I look in the mirror and I think, what happened? So I want to take this as an opportunity to give a shout out to old men. There's an old Jewish proverb from, I can hear some old men out there clapping. I'm glad your hands still work. There's an old Jewish proverb from the Middle Ages that says, an old man in the house is a good sign because they often buttress or support teetering households by their prudence and their piety. Yeah, and not just for the old men, but also for their counterparts here today who are female. Notice I didn't say old ladies. You also have your champion. Her name is Anna, and she comes up right in the very next section of Scripture here, but because she didn't sing a song, sorry, we're not going to cover her. We'll have to save her for another time. But what I have to say to old men also applies to you. Your value cannot be adequately expressed. The strength, the stability, the wisdom that you have by having gone through many storms in life, well, you're still standing, and the testimony of your life is invaluable. Through many dangers, storms, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And your participation, your example, your participation in this church, just want to say thank you from one old guy to another. And you know what? I know the younger people here feel that way too. Thank you very much. Yeah, amen. Old people, my goodness. Well, all right. Simeon was most likely, can't be absolutely sure, but he was most likely an old guy. And we're told a lot about him because he is a very impressive guy. And that's because Luke wants us to be impressed because it enhances the validity of what Simeon has to say. Simeon is just. Simeon is devout. That means that he's righteous in his heart and also in his actions. He's what you call a man of integrity because he's the same on the inside as he is on the outside. He's right with God in his heart and in his action. He loves God and he obeys God. And Simeon's also a man of hope. He's a man with concern for others. He had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Luke here, by saying that, echoes the prophet Isaiah who said, comfort ye my people. Speak ye tenderly to Jerusalem, says your God. Simeon is a man of God. More specifically, he's the man of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit led him, and the Holy Spirit revealed something to Simeon. He said, you will not see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ. So the focus is not here on Simeon, but on what Simeon was promised he would see. Yeah, he was led by the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, sometimes they talk about that as walking with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Noah was a man who walked with God. We can talk about it now in terms of being led by the Holy Spirit, walking with God. He was led by the Spirit into the very temple precincts at just the very time and just the very place where Joseph and Mary, who were there to do for Jesus according to the custom of the law, just happened to be walking at the very same time and the very same place. So Simeon's life, led by the Holy Spirit, intersects with the life of Jesus. Now, before I was saved, I always felt like I was a bit out of step. I knew something wasn't right, but I could never quite put my finger on it. I could relate to the lines of a song by Dr. John the Night Tripper, and if you know who he was, that's probably not a good thing. But the song lyrics, I think, honestly summed up his life and mine. He said, "I was in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have been the wrong line." That was me. Right place, wrong time. Sometimes wrong place, wrong time. And that's the honest testimony of a life that is out of sync with the God of the universe. A life that is not being led by the Holy Spirit. That's not good. Well, that was not Simeon. Simeon was in the right place at the right time because he was a man of God led by the Spirit. Now, let me just pause for a moment. I want to say that if you are a Christian here today, you are a man of the Spirit. You are a woman of the Spirit. That's a definition of a Christian. It's someone who has the Holy Spirit. We are called in Scripture people of the Spirit. Actually, in a way that's even more profound than Simeon. Because Simeon lived at a particular time in redemptive history before Christ had risen from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit. So he was in that kind of dispensation where John the Baptist was. He was very great for his time, but he was led by the Spirit. The Spirit was sort of upon him. But that's not the way it is with the Christian. Jesus told his disciples the night before he was crucified that the Holy Spirit was going to come and not just be with them, but be in them. He said in John 14, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And what that means, my friend, is if you are a Christian today, you have the Holy Spirit. He will be with you forever. It's not a question of what you feel or how you feel. It's a question of the truth of God. Now, we could and we should, we ought to pray always to be led by the Spirit of God. But if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit in a way even Simeon did not. But anyway, back to Simeon. The Holy Spirit had given him an amazing promise. He said, "You will not see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ." And what does he see? He sees Jesus. But he sees beyond the baby. He sees the Lord's Messiah. He sees the consolation of Israel. He sees the salvation of God. All of these phrases taken right out of this passage. What he sees is the desire of the ages. He sees what not only he, but what you and I have longed to see. Whether you know it or not, what you want and what you need to see more than anything else is Jesus Christ. So he took this baby up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words, For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This moment was the pinnacle of Simeon's life. This is what he was living for. And this enabled him to say those poignant words, O Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation. Now I can die happy. Why? Because I've seen the Lord's salvation. I've seen the consolation of Israel. He saw what had been prepared for all peoples. Notice the plural there. Gentiles and Jews, the gospel for all people. This is important in Luke's gospel. The gospel is to the Jew first, but it's also to the Gentile. We have any Gentiles here today? This is how you can identify yourself. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. That's the way that God looks at the world, okay? Well, Simeon saw it and he rejoiced. And we should too, both Jew and Gentile. This is what Jesus means. Jesus means salvation. Salvation for all who will believe. O Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace. Now I can die happy. What would it take for you to die happy? Could you die happy right now? Is there something else that needs to take place? See, we're not exactly in the same position as Simeon. As I said, he was one of the last of the Old Testament believers, like John the Baptist, kind of lived between the times. Jesus had come, but Jesus had not yet lived a holy life and died an atoning death and rose from the dead. That hadn't happened yet. He had not yet inaugurated the new covenant. So Simeon lived between the times. Well, we, though, also live between the times. Jesus has come, but Jesus is going to come again. He must come again before this present age can close. And so we live between the ages. So if you know Jesus, if you've trusted in him, if you believe that he died and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, you can depart in peace. But the fact is, we're still here right now, so he must have more for us to do. There must be a reason why you and I are here, and there is. There's a mission for us. We are here to bear witness to the reality of Jesus Christ, both in our words and in our works. There's more to be done, and the church continues its work. Yet any of us as individuals, individual Christians, may depart this life in peace. And still the work goes on. And even the work goes on here for Simeon, by the way. He doesn't just die at that moment. No, he has more to say. He's not done yet. The fourth part of this passage is Simeon's prophecy. That was a nice song, but Simeon has more to say. Verse 20 of the next verses. And his father and his mother, Jesus' father and mother, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now those final words from Simeon, they sound a little foreboding, don't they? Joseph and Mary marvel at what they heard. There's a lot that's been going on. Mary's been pondering a lot in her heart. A lot of people have been wondering, and they continue to marvel here. They're trying to take it all in. And then it says, Simeon blessed them and said, but it's a prophecy of the future. He said, this child is appointed. This child is set. This child is destined. And what's he appointed for? What's he destined for? He's destined, he's appointed for the fall of many and the rise of many in Israel and beyond. because of him, many will fall and many will rise. And he'll be a sign opposed, a sign to be spoken against. And because of him, the thoughts of many hearts will be exposed. And Mary, a sword also shall pierce your own soul. What does that mean? Well, at the time, they could only have guessed. This is a blessing? A sword piercing my soul? The fall of many? The thoughts of hearts being exposed? How do you feel about the thoughts of your heart being exposed? Even if we just took today, would you like them projected onto a screen in the back? I wouldn't. Well, this is serious. Yeah, the effect that this baby is going to have on all mankind, many will fall and many will rise because of Jesus. In other words, sooner or later, everyone must reckon with this baby. Paul said it this way to the men and women of Athens. He said, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Why? Because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Same word. And of this he's given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." All right, so Jesus was born as a baby. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus will return. And when he does, he will return for judgment. And Paul assures the crowd at Athens that this judgment will certainly occur because God raised this Jesus from the dead and God appointed this Jesus for the rise and for the fall of many. And some of them mocked at the resurrection. It's not a good idea. That's very unwise. Do not mock at the resurrection. The last words from Simeon actually propel us from a baby into the distant future. How distant, we do not know. To the time beyond the resurrection, to the time of the return of Christ, who will come back to judge the quick and the dead. So that Christmas song that we sang earlier, "What Child Is This?" or "We Heard It Sung," kind of sums it up. Yeah, Jesus is special. Boy, is that ever an understatement. In what way is he special? Well, among many other things that could be said, he will be the divider of the human race, set for the fall and for the rise of many, and for a sign to be spoken against. In other words, my friends, Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny. But it is equally true to say that you will determine your eternal destiny based on what you do with Jesus Christ. Will you, as Simeon did, take up Christ in your arms and bless God? Because if so, you may also say with him, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation." True, Simeon took up this baby, and his earthly pilgrimage had just begun. He accurately saw into the future who Jesus was and what he would accomplish. So Simeon was content in that faith to rest in Christ. For us, the only difference is we look backwards on the life of Christ to see what he has done. And so the only question that really remains, the basic question is, will you trust Jesus Christ alone for for your salvation? Will you trust in his grace alone? Because if so, you may have the same peace, the same hope that godly old Simeon had. The baby Jesus, Simeon, his song, his prophecy, they leave us marveling, they leave us wondering, what child is this? And you know, the riches of Christ are called unfathomable. You never will reach the bottom. We've only but scratched the surface of the one who is our sanctification and our redemption, who is our wisdom, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the consolation of Israel. He is the Lord's Christ. He is the Savior, the salvation of all peoples, Jews and Gentiles, but only those who believe in him. I hope that's you. Let's trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for each person within the sound of my voice that this Jesus, who will be the divider of mankind, will find a place in our hearts, that we will trust in him with all of our hearts, that we will rest in him, that we will hope in him. Lord, please grant us grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, for the gift of eternal life, and that with old Simeon we might say, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, that our hearts would be at peace, that we'd be filled with hope. And Lord, as we remain here to do your will, help us in all humility, as Christ himself was humble, to share with our words and our works the love of our Lord Jesus Christ with others who may not know him. Grant this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.